Before decades of war and strife tore Afghanistan apart, textiles were one of the country's most important exports. In Europe and America, Afghan carpets and rugs are not just decoration, but highly prized works of art that can cost thousands of dollars. But wealthy Western buyers may not realize that many of the carpets they buy are woven by children, some no older than 6 or 7 years old. Clark Boyd reports from Washington.
For Washington area native Bill Seward, an Afghan carpet or rug is much more than just a product. It's a passion. As a businessman who sells Afghan textiles, Seward touts the craftsmanship and skill that go into each piece. As a trained anthropologist, he revels in the minutiae of ancient designs and dye methods. And as an employer, Seward strives to understand the difficulties faced by those who weave for him. In fact, he recently returned with a homemade videotape from a trip to Pakistan, where many of the Afghans who weave his products have been living as refugees for more than 10 years. On the tape, frenetic street scenes give way to quiet courtyards where ethnic Turkmen refugees from Afghanistan weave on large looms. Seward's video makes it clear that creating carpets is dirty, difficult work. The workers, all men in this case, can spend months just weaving the carpet. Then they get down to the nasty job of shearing the product. Bill Seward admits that carpet weaving is a tough job, but that the workers are treated fairly.
I wouldn't want to do it, but it is hard work. But they, you know, the places that I went, which are, you know, run by various American people I know, they're not sweatshops at all. Everybody is doing good work. I mean, they're really nice people. Everyone's fed and they're paid and they want to do the work.
For an Afghan refugee in Pakistan, carpet weaving can generate about $1 to $3 a day in income. That doesn't seem like much, considering that these products will sell for thousands of dollars apiece in the United States and Europe. Some say it's an economic situation that can lead to serious abuses of child labor. Nina Smith is the executive director of Rugmark Foundation, a nonprofit working to eradicate child labor in the weaving industry worldwide.
You get situations where families are very poor. They can't afford to take care of their children, and they send the children to the city or to a village where they're producing rugs. Sometimes with an aunt or an uncle, and they go to weave carpets to help earn money for the family.
In some cases, says Smith, children as young as 5 or 6 will be sold to carpet weavers and used almost as slave labor. Rugmark Foundation's goal is to create market incentives that will eliminate these abuses. Nina Smith says the organization has a threefold approach.
The first is inspecting the looms of registered producers who are willing to participate and who want the Rugmark label on their carpets. We inspect those looms on a random basis to make sure that no children are found. When children are found, we work with the manufacturers to get them into a safe place. We support schools and rehabilitation centers for children who have come out of work. And thirdly, we focus on raising consumer awareness so that consumers can affect the problem through the purchases that they make.
But so far, Rugmark's having a hard time selling its approach to the industry. Only 13 importers currently agree to have their looms randomly inspected by Rugmark for signs of illegal child labor. Importer Mehmet Yalcin thinks that Rugmark's approach fails to appreciate that Western answers might not be right for Eastern problems.
We immediately think, how there can they do that? You know, who would have the heart to allow a 7-8-year-old child to, you know, weave a carpet? We don't realize the conditions they live in. We don't realize sometimes that if it weren't for the 7-year-old weaving, his 6-member family could be dying of hunger.
And moreover, says Yalcin, to an Afghan refugee in Pakistan, weaving is more than a job. It's a traditional art form and way of life.
Sure, you will see a 4-year-old Afghan girl or boy weaving, because this is when they start doing these things anyway. This is a part of life for them. But I don't think it's fair to call that child slave labor. I mean, it's like sending one of our kids for piano lessons. They're weaving carpets.
That's why Yalcin and others in the carpet industry have started policing themselves when it comes to keeping kids off their looms. Mason Purcell, owner of the Purcell Oriental Rug Company in Charlottesville, Virginia, has been using Afghan weavers for more than 20 years. As a standard part of her contract, Purcell insists that no children work on the looms. In the past, she's made regular checks with her employees in Pakistan, and if she finds a child working, she'll void the contract. In return for her employees' compliance, Purcell says she sets up smaller looms where adult women can teach young girls the art of weaving.
It's important that the girls do learn to weave because they don't leave the compound, all right? And a Turkoman girl who's a good weaver will bring a dowry, which is hers, by the way, of in excess of $6,000 or $8,000 US if she's a good weaver. And she's also very well treated when she marries because she's considered an asset to her husband's family. And if they don't learn young, they don't learn. And I'm not going to stand there and tell somebody's mother that they can't teach their kid the craft that's going to make their living.
Some of the manufacturers genuinely believe that they know what's going on in their looms and they don't really need to add this other layer of bureaucracy to what they're doing.
Again, Nina Smith of Rugmark Foundation.
But it's impossible being here in the United States to know what's going on the looms. So I'd like to think that more and more importers would view Rugmark as an important service to them so that they know at any given time what's going on in their looms and that with certainty they can tell their retailers and their consumers that their rugs aren't being made by children.
That's a goal increasingly shared by the carpet industry itself. Many importers say that throughout the 1990s, their buyers grew savvier, choosing to purchase those carpets and rugs that would benefit indigenous weavers instead of keeping children locked in a carpet factory. And in the wake of September 11th, more carpet buyers than ever before are asking serious questions about the textile products they purchase. But the importers admit that trend may continue only as long as attention is focused on Afghanistan, Pakistan, and other countries in the region where illegal child labor thrives. For Common Ground, this is Clark Boyd in Washington.